Somebody's file will be opened again today. Let that person shout hallelujah. God bless you. Be seated. One moment. Be seated. Be seated. Hallelujah. I hope the fire is still on. It's like there are some casualties. Why are some people not in the church? So many people are not here tonight. Casualty. They are recovering from 21 days. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, when we finish a program like this, we expect a lot of manifestations. A lot of manifestations. And so we expect a lot of questions on the manifestations of the Spirit, on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If the Lord touch you during this period, can you wave your hand before the Lord? Oh my. Okay, no wonder you are all here. Amen. Okay. So if you have any question, we can make clarifications on any experiences you have and you don't understand. We'll be glad to answer, including those of you watching us from around the world. The phone number will be on the screen shortly. And we'll be glad to answer your calls, answer your questions. Amen. Okay, any question, please? Yes? Give me a microphone wherever, please.
Praise the Lord, church. Let somebody that God will touch tonight shout a better hallelujah. Sir, I have a question to ask. And that question happened by grace of God. What God did in my life in this particular program that we just concluded.
Amen. Yes.
It happened that there came a night that should be Saturday after vigil. So as I was sleeping, I was in revelation and I saw you, sir. And when I saw you, we were just seated the way we are sitting here now. And you just point at me, you said, you call one name, you ask me whether is this your name, I say no. But you say I should stand up. And when I stood up, you now said, do you know Antonia? So, I wanted to give you whether I know, I don't know. Something happened. And that thing distracted you from my side. But suddenly I woke up. It was in a dream because I thought that it's just physical like that. So, and I was bothered about the question, about the name Antonia. And I went even through dictionary to know what is that name was all about. Because I thought so many things about the name. That is why I say this night, I'm going to ask you, sir, to verify. Because it is you that God used to ask me that name in my revelation. So I want you to answer me physically.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Listen, church, we cannot use sessions of question and answer to interpret dreams. We want questions on doctrinal issues, any manifestation of the Spirit you don't understand, issues that affect your spiritual life, your spiritual progress. But concerning dreams, I have had reason to say this several times. First, and foremost, when you see me in a dream, certainly you know it's not me. It is the covenant angel of the ministry. It is God Himself sending His angel by using a face that you have respect for, you have regards for, to minister to you, to tell you things, to give you message. Now when you have a dream like that, a name is given to you, Antonia, for instance, and the message was not complete, and you wake up. What you do with such dream is to hang it. Or you go into prayers. Everyone knows how he relates with God. There are people that anytime they pray, Lord, I want to know this. If they sleep, God will talk to them. Now, if you know that is how you relate with God, then you explore that means for that revelation to come. But there are people that will dream, and the dream not complete. They wake up. They say, yay, this is not complete. Father, complete it. They will enter sleep and continue where they stop. Okay? There are such people that have that ability. Now, everybody does not have it. So, now, if you don't have it, you pray for God to make it clearer. If you don't have the ability, don't go into praying for God to go into an experience that you know that is not how God deals with you. Every one of us always try to recognize this is how God deals with me. And pursue that area very well. Use it for your spiritual bearing. Now, if you pray and nothing happens, you hang it. When I say hang it, that is keep it and watch it in the back of your mind. Antonia, Antonia. One day, you will jam Antonia. For whatever reason. Then you will now quickly remember, ha! This is the Antonia. Antonia. Are you married?
Yes, sir.
You are married?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Antonia. God bless you.
Okay, sir.
Yes, sister.
Sir, in our family, there's a land they give my mom. But my mother...
There is?
A land.
Land?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
They give my mom. Then my father, first son, her first son died. Then he went to that my mother land, bury that her son. Bury his son. So, I had it. My brothers and my sister, because my sister is not happy. They even quarrel. So how can we show these people love? But they are wicked us like this. And I called my mom yesterday. Say, mommy, what is going on? I said, it's what he saw. I said, don't fight. Let God fight for us. So I wanted to know why you will show your enemy love, but they will still, they want to kill you. This
Sorry.
Kind of love, I understand it, Daddy.
Sorry, if I understand your story very well, they came and buried their son in your own land.
In my motherland.
In your brother's land.
My motherland.
Your mother's land.
Yes.
How does that constitute enmity? What is wrong with it?
Sir?
If they bury somebody in your land, what's wrong with it? It's your relation. It's your land. It's your relation. What's the problem?
Sir? You have their own land. This is the land where my father's father gave my mom. And they have their own...
Is it not family land?
Sir?
Is it not for your family? Is it a member of your family?
That is a member of family, but they wanted to kill us. They don't like us. Even though her father wants to kill us, because of this prayer, her father has died. Her son.
No, what I'm saying is, the act of burying somebody in your land does not constitute wickedness. Does it?
Daddy.
Sorry, Ima, can you tell, can you explain?
Daddy,
Ima,
they want to take that land.
Wait, first.
Pastor, I read that this one, you will not understand this one because it's an evil culture. So this one is above you.
Tell me now, teach me what it means.
Sir, what it means that for those people to went for their mother's land and bury that person for evil land is not right.
Because tell me what is wrong now. They keep saying it's not right.
As they bury that person, that place now, that land, they have possessed that land. They have possessed the land. So they are fighting over that land now. It will become an issue.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, why I'm laughing is amen. Well, that is a family matter now. That's a family matter. I expect that if according to the culture of your people it is wrong, then the whole community should have stood behind you and stopped them from burying there the day they were buried. Was it a secret burial? That's why I'm laughing. If it is according to the culture that possessing your land, while they were buried, you will have raised objection and people around will have told you, why will you leave your land and bury in another person's land? So that's why I say I think it's a family matter. But now your question is, how will you as a Christian now handle your enemy who has taken over your land?
My motherland, yes.
Yes, your land. It's your land. Praise the Lord. I have explained several times. The Bible does not allow us to fight physical fight. Instead, you do the opposite. Our fight is spiritual, is on our knees. But before them, you show them love. But in your closet, you report the matter to God. For our weapons are mighty through God. And that is prayer. So, physically, be good to everybody around. But spiritually, show them pepper. Go and ask our neighbors around here who have been fighting us. We face them with our prayers. And the enemy submitted. Hallelujah. God bless you. Yes?
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Okay, sir. I just have these two for the questions. I said I just have these questions. They are funny somehow. And number one is, you know, I'm asking, sir, is it proper to kneel before a man or to bow before a man? Now, whether in greeting or maybe in honor or in apology, like, you know, like the way the Yorubas do, you know, they kneel down to, you know, to greet. Is it proper that we bow to a man, bow before a man?
Can I also ask you, what makes you think it is not proper? From your question, you feel it is not proper.
And because I think that, you know, only God, because what I think there is that, now when you bow, it simply means worship. That's the way I think it.
Where do you get that definition from? Where do you get the definition that to bow before somebody is to worship him?
Sir, I get it from there, but I just think, that is why I came out to ask. I just think.
Yes.
Sir, I get it nowhere, but I just think, and that's why I came out to ask, is it proper to kneel before a man?
I read somewhere, during the time of Adolf Hitler, he was the Führer, he was the head of government in Germany, And everybody was bowing before him. Only the Jehovah Witness, they refused that they can only bow to God. And they will not bow to a man. And they faced persecution, they were killing them. Some of them escaped, but they still stood by it. Now, when it comes to worship, you define what posture you take to worship. If not, we will stand in to greet somebody, a human being. If we stand to worship, then it means we are lowering the reverence of God too. Why do we stand to worship? Why do we worship God by standing the same way we also greet our fellow men? I'm talking about you, your reasoning now. See, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, I like to balance things up. There's a way you follow God and become so legalistic until you become carnal and you think you are spiritual. Now listen, you define what it is, what you call reverence. You define it. And it is determined by your relationship with God. When it is time to worship God in this church, we see some people lie down flat. Some sit down, bow down their head. Some stand up and lift up their hands. Some kneel down. Some stand up. All those postures, they are postures of worship that the individual determined to give to his God. There is no doctrine on when it comes to worship, this is the posture you must take. You can stand before a man and yet you idolize him. Okay? So it is not the posture of lying down that determines reverence or worship of God. It's more than that. Now, cultures differ from place to place. What a community defines as respect for the elderly, for the people in position, for the king and the rest. In the Yoruba land here, in the West here, for instance, in Nigeria here, I do know that in my former church, one of my former church, I was just a member, and the pastor was teaching respect. And then he went further to say that the woman, when you come to serve your husband food, you should kneel down and give him. Then he tells you, oh, stand up. He was teaching that in the church. And he hammered on it and hammered on it. After service, I went to his office. I said, sir, I heard your teaching. And you are teaching us Yoruba culture and telling us that is what is acceptable before God as respect. And I quickly told him that where I come from, what constitutes respect for me from my wife is not by kneeling down. So you won't say because my wife stands to talk to me, it means she has no respect for me. You won't say that because my culture does not take kneeling down like that to mean respect. So stop teaching us Yoruba culture. I told him. Teach your wife. And don't make a doctrine out of it. The Yoruba man, to show respect, he will lie down. Bara. That is him. They call him Dovale. That is what constitutes respect for them. And you know that if you are not a Yoruba man and you don't do it, they don't take offense. Because they know you are not a Yoruba man. Praise the Lord. In the north there, you don't enter a king's palace with your shoe. You remove your shoe as a sign of respect to him, and you enter. And when you enter, you sit down on the floor. That is my area where we come from. You don't lie down, you only sit down on the floor. The man is on top of his throne. Whoever you are, governor, anybody, you sit down on the floor. That is their own sign of respect. But you can also sit down like that to worship God. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So that shouldn't be a problem at all.
Okay, sir. All right, so the second one says, now, when the Bible says, do not be equally yoked with the unbelievers.
Yep.
So who are the unbelievers? Is it the people that are not born again, yet they know that there is Jesus? Or those who don't just believe that there is Jesus?
When you say the unbeliever, you have to define it again. Believe what?
Sir, I just was bothered.
Believer.
Like,
believe what? Who is a believer and who is an unbeliever? You have to define it first before we know how to separate them.
Sir, that is why I come, so that you will help me.
Why I say so is, what you believe, as far as the Christian faith is concerned, anybody that does not believe it like you is an unbeliever.
Okay.
And you too, you are an unbeliever to that person.
Now, sir, sorry.
Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, sir.
If that person too goes to church, a Catholic man, for instance, that believes in images of Mary and the rest, looks at you, a Pentecostal man, as an unbeliever. You too, you are looking at him as an unbeliever. That's why I say, define unbelief.
Okay, now, sir. Now, when the Bible says, do not be equally yoked. And you know, in Nigeria, there's nothing, you can't do anything without, like, maybe you're selling, and then you have to meet somebody too, and maybe this person is not a believer. And or maybe you have a business to do with somebody. Okay, let's just say, you want to do a joint business. And then this is not a believer, and you have to do it. Now, I come to ask, is it proper?
See, do you know what a yoke is? You know what a yoke is? Now this is the meaning of a yoke. You where they use the cows, for instance, to farm. Now they want to begin to till the ground, they put the plow behind and the cow is in front. Now the plow is here for another cow. Now, so that they will all go at the same pace, there is a stick that they use to tie between the two of them. That stick is the yoke that keeps them together to move at the same pace. That is the meaning of yoke. Now, when they say, be not equally yoked with unbeliever, you now understand. So that you don't join yourself to do certain things together. Anything that is contrary to your faith, you don't join you with another person to do it.
Thank you.
That's the meaning of yoke.
Thank you.
God bless you. Yes? Now, have you asked me some kind of question? Very soon, I'm going to use question, answer question. Go ahead.
Good evening, sir.
Yes.
I have two questions. One is about Holy Ghost. On Friday, last Friday, I had a very strange experience. I asked God for Holy Ghost. And
talk louder.
I asked God for the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
And suddenly I felt this, I felt something strange. I can't even explain it. But I noticed that my two hands started shaking uncontrollably. And I was struggling to stop them from shaking. The more I tried to stop them, the more it continued to shake. And if you set fire, the thing will increase. And eventually, it stopped when you said in Jesus' name. And then you said if you had an experience that we should come out here. I came out and after you wanted us to go in, you said clap for Jesus. I tried clapping, but it started again. And I found myself here. Okay, I went inside. But I don't understand what that meant.
I think I took time to explain that when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, there are certain manifestations you will receive. And That is where the Pentecostals miss it. Now, you look at it in the Bible, in the Acts of Apostles, when the Holy Ghost, all those who received the Holy Ghost, there was a manifestation of the Spirit that somebody looking at you, we know that something has taken place, supernatural. And what they saw in Acts of Apostles was, as at that time, it was speaking in unknown tongue. Remember that it never happened before until it took place on the day of Pentecost. So everybody was surprised what is going on. It was a sign that something had, the person had received something. That is what Peter saw in Acts chapter 10, in the house of Cornelius, and he saw them speaking in tongues, and he turned to people that accompanied him, the Jews. Look at this Gentile. He has received the same Spirit we have received. What stopped us from baptizing them? Seeing they have received the same Spirit we have received. What makes him think, know that they have received? They saw a manifestation of speaking in tongues. But as the church progressed, there were other manifestations. Praise the Lord. And I want you to also notice that on the day of Pentecost, not just speaking in tongue. Why? Because the people said they saw them and thought they were drunk. Now, for you to say somebody is drunk, there must be a way they behaved. That itself is a manifestation. And Peter told them, it's just 9 a.m. Beer palace never open. This is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. Praise the Lord. Now, it grew to other manifestations. Other manifestations. And these things become more clear because, you know, Satan, there is nothing, you know, Satan cannot impersonate. Once something is released, Satan will impersonate it. But as time went on, especially as we come to this side of the Gentile church age, from 1906, when God decided to restore the manifestations again in the church, from 1906, the history, read the history of the move of God from that time, you will see a lot of other manifestations. There was a group in America that was called as the Quakers. When the Holy Ghost came upon them, the common manifestation they were seeing among them was they were quaking. They would be shaking, and then they nicknamed them the Quakers and the Shakers. The Quakers and the Shakers. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. And on like that, through the church history, the move of the Spirit, some of us have studied this and seen that when the Holy Ghost comes, there are different manifestations. Something that lets you know I have received something. One of it I mentioned is that fire sensation. That shaking of the hand. You see somebody shaking, the hand will be shaking by itself. And if you, so that you will know that it is not you, you try to stop it, it will increase. That is how you know this is supernatural. And for a long time, for quite some time to come, anytime the atmosphere becomes spiritual, that manifestation will come on. This is just one of them. Some of you, you feel that fire sensation. Some of you, tears will just be coming out of your eyes. Of course, some of you begin to speak in tongues. Some of you, you'll just be laughing. Some of you will be dancing. A sister was dancing here. One was dancing somewhere there. Some in the congregation, you try to stop that dance, you cannot stop it. The more you try, even speaking in tongues, when you try to close your mouth, the thing will increase. That is how it is. When you if it's, it can be slain in the spirit, you just fall down as if all your bones are off. Now you try to stand up, the thing will pin you more there. And all other manifestations, there are many. Some will just be shouting and shouting and shouting. What are you shouting at? You know, you don't know. They are all manifestations, different manifestations, but the same spirit. That is what the Lord says. So, it is evidence you receive something.
Thank
God bless you,
sir. Thank you, sir.
What's your second question?
Second question. I recently dropped my trousers, and I want to ask, for the purposes of undergarments, is it a sin when you wear shorts as undergarments?
Can I ask?
When you are working out, when you are swimming or when you are jogging.
Can I ask you, why did you drop your trousers?
Okay. Because of the Deuteronomy 32 verse 5.
By revelation. Just by revelation. You know a woman should not dress like her husband. She not share clothes with her husband. This is one now. When did you drop it? When?
Less than a month. Because I've been coming here and I've been listening to you and the messages have been disturbing. So I just decided to drop it.
They are
it.
Disturbing. Hey, may my messages continue to disturb you in the name of Jesus. But you are not a member of this church.
Not exactly, but I'm a frequent visitor.
You're a visitor.
Yes, sir.
Which church do you attend, if you don't mind?
Redeem.
Eh? Redeem.
Yes, sir.
No, but they don't kick against trousers in Redeem.
Workers are not supposed to wear trousers.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's only workers that will go to heaven. Eh? Praise God. So if you want to continue wearing trousers, don't be a church worker. That's all. But bring your tithe and offering. God will help us. Praise the Lord. Well, I thank God that your revelation, your worship of God transcends your denomination. Wherever you hear the truth, whether it is from your church or not, you are ready to follow it. Now that is an evidence you are an eagle among chickens. Praise the Lord. Now listen. The messages we preach here concerning whether you should wear trouser or not. What we are talking about is fashion. The reason people wear trouser, women wear trouser, is fashion. That is what the Holy Ghost is against. Now, there is what we call functional dress. I've explained this here several times. What we call functional dress. A young girl, for instance, that is going to an NYC orientation camp, where you're going to do a lot of exercises of climbing, coming down, crawling, and all those exercises that involve you opening your leg. You don't expect that woman will go there and wear skirt or wrapper. That NYC trouser they give you in the orientation camp is not for fashion. It is a functional dress for a particular purpose that requires that type of dress. You have not seen. You're a sport woman, or you want to do some exercises, physical exercise. You want to jog. You want to do some aerobics so that you don't get too fat. Your husband may be complaining. You want to check your weight. You are a woman. You are not expected to go to the gym in skirt. You have to wear the right kind of dress that will fit the exercise you are going for. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And it may surprise some of you that I have a young girl in my house. What a young girl recently the Lord told me to adopt. Somebody remember one day here, the Lord showed me there's a young girl that fasted 3 days dry fasting. Somebody remember that? I said, you should see me. I had it clearly. I shall adopt that girl and take care of her. She's been with me in my house all this while. And she was in a very critical condition. She was crying to God to help her. She was in JS2 and she dropped because of very obvious reasons. And I have taken her now to be my daughter. She's in school now. I think, is it April or so? My wife and I, we were in a shopping mall in the U.S. And I saw sleeping gown, pajamas. Her name is Favor. And I told my wife, I said, this thing with, this is Favor size. Can you get her these pajamas that she can use to sleep? I've not seen her with pajamas since she came. And my wife said, but it has a trouser. I said, no, this is a sleeping gown. Now, she's not wearing it for fashion. And the room she shares with one of my other children, when my wife was saying, it's true that other girl said that when she sleeps very carelessly. So he said, now this one go fit up to sleep with. Will you say that is for fashion? No, it's a pajamas. It's a sleeping gown. Praise the Lord. So when we preach here, don't look at us as some people that say anything that have a leg like this, no enter. Amen. The little children, 1 year, 2 year old, 3 year old children, when you wear them knickers, you know, this is trousers, something they wear. You know, when you wear that, it's not for fashion. The young girl is going to be playing anyhow and, you know, it's a protection for her. So you won't say the small girl is wearing trousers. God judges all our motives. Yes, it's wrong for a woman to wear that which pertains to a man. But when it is a functional dress, when you are a soldier woman, you won't go to the combat field with a skirt. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.